Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Wednesday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Joy Taylor is joining me. Talked a lot of Dak Prescott yesterday. Scaling back a little today on the Dak Prescott talk. Little.
I don't think we've ever talked more about someone's contracts. And you and I are not even contract people.
Always been.
I don't make more money if someone else makes less money.
I don't like to talk about guys' money.
Yeah, it's just
even mobsters difficult. Who whack people. The rule is like, don't sell heroin and don't talk about a guy's money.
Are those the rules?
I think they are. Whack guys. You know, make sure the boss is happy. But you know, it's just like, I don't want to talk about people's money.
Well, we don't have to anymore.
We don't. So this is interesting. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the best team in the NFL at the end of the year, easily. Crushed Kansas City. So they have now agreed to terms with Lavonte David, the linebacker. Just made it work. They franchise tagged Chris Godwin, slot receiver. Great player. They just made it work. And apparently they're in talks now with Shaq Barrett, great player. Tom Brady's now restructuring his deal. They want to add another star. Anybody noticing a trend, and not just that aggressive teams win? I've talked about that ad nauseum. They now win immediately. KD to Golden State, title, year one. Kawhi to the Raptors, title, year one. LeBron, AD, title, year one. Tom Brady, Tampa, title, year one. Mookie Betts, Dodgers, title, year one. You don't even have to wait. You don't have to speculate. By the time people are talking about expectations, you're bringing home a trophy. And it never used to be that way. At best, it was year two. Guys learned the system. But usually there was a process to it. Why? I was thinking about this morning. For all of my adult life, bad teams needed stars to quickly fix their problems. Mediocre to slightly above mediocre teams went and got stars because they thought it put them in a different class. Now it's changed. Now the great teams are like, let's get greater. Tampa Bay's like, yeah, we dominated. Let's add more. Dodgers kept winning their division title, best roster in baseball. They're like, no, let's go get the best player in the game. I mean, think about that. Think what the Rams did this year. The Rams went 10-6 in the toughest division. And if a call got overturned in Buffalo early in the year, they were 11-5. They go on the road and win a playoff game. And they're like, well, yeah, we're going to upgrade at quarterback. Jared Goff was 42-20 and got to a Super Bowl with Sean McVay. They're like, not really good enough. We're going to upgrade at quarterback. He was 42-20. He went 10-6 in the toughest division. Broken hand, end of the year. Won a playoff game with a broken hand. Not good enough. Golden State won a title. Following year, they win 73 games. They lose in game 7. And they're like, you know what? That's not good enough. Let's get KD. What? I mean, the fact that Tom Brady's like, no, I want to rework this to get another star. It didn't used to be that way. Like, you were great. Your job was safe. Your GM, your job was safe. Coach, your job was safe. Now franchises are worth $1 billion. Owners, they don't want one. They want multiple. So the only thing that guarantees employment for a GM and for a coach is multiple. You can always say, well, you know, they won a title, but I mean, you know, I mean, Gene Chizik won a title at Auburn. And there's been a lot, you know, some average quarterbacks. Brad Johnson won a title in Tampa. That's why Jimmy Garoppolo, San Francisco. They're a great team. They're like, no, let's upgrade. That's not good enough. Now you get it. And it's why I kind of roll my eyes at these teams that are like, well, you know, just can't quite fit J.J. Watt into our, what are you doing? Well, I mean, New England's like bid and lost on like seven players. What are you doing? Like the best team in football is reworking deals with their quarterback to add another star. The Dodgers got Mookie Betts. They won a World Series. They're like, let's add Trevor Bauer. What? We just had the Cy Young winner? You were already easily the best team in baseball last year. Right? And you have Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw and David Price. They're like, no, let's add the best pitcher. Why? Why not? It used to be average to slightly above average. The bad teams went and got stars. Now the star-driven teams are adding stars. They'll figure out the cap and the problems later. Let's get another. And this leads me to the Green Bay Packers. Good God. So they did not franchise tag Aaron Jones. Great running back. That means Aaron Jones will hit the market. Someone's going to make an offer. I love Aaron Jones. By the way, they couldn't find a way to pay for J.J. Watt. And they're going to lose their center, Corey Linsley, which is amazing because he's like a Pro Bowler. Like, isn't the thing in football, this is a kind of easy one, you get the right draft picks and then you keep them. So they got Aaron Jones in the fifth round, Corey Linsley in the fifth round. They paid them nothing. They became great. And now they're like, it's a little tight for our budget. You wonder why Aaron Rodgers sometimes gets a little prickly. The Packers are doing the opposite now of what wins titles. And they become the post office. The Packers are the post office. The rest of us now, like the Rams and the aggressive teams. No, they're the post office. You know how the rest of us can send a letter electronically? It arrives instantly and it's free. Not the Packers. Not the Packers. The Packers write a handwritten letter. And then they lick the envelope. And then they go into the drawer and they get the stamp. And then they get in their sedan and they drive to the post office. Hi, Betsy, and then they give her the letter or him, and they're like, "Oh, it's Friday. The mail's closed Sunday." That's what they're doing. Like, is Green Bay watching teams like the Dodgers and the Warriors? And are they watching what the Buccaneers are doing? Like, the world's changed. The great teams now, with no needs, are adding more. Dodgers didn't need Trevor Bauer. The Tampa Bay doesn't need any more stars. The Rams were winning their division and going 10-6, 11-5 with Jared Goff. It's not good enough. Golden State didn't need Kevin Durant. They won 73 games without him. The other thing is, I have this feeling about New England. Like, if dad's uptight, the family's uptight. This is my theory. I started noticing years ago, I'm kind of intense. When I was uptight, everybody's walking on eggshells in the house. So if I was in one of my moods, I just leave the house. So when dad's uptight, because dad's the big booming voice in the house, often the tallest person, the biggest person, dad, all the kids are like, ooh, and they get uptight. And mom's a little uptight. Oh, boy, your father. So I was like, loosen up, or if you're in a mood, get out of the house. The Packers now are so, their culture is so safe and frugal that progressive Matt LaFleur comes in, the coach, right? Young guy. What did they do on the last series of the year? They got super safe and conservative and kicked a field goal. We never thought Matt LaFleur was safe. We don't think Aaron Rodgers. These are like go-getter guys. These are get-getter done. And at the end of the season, Matt LaFleur is like, no, I didn't kick a field goal and lick a stamp and take it to the post office and hope it. What are you doing? That's the culture of Green Bay. The culture. Have you ever been fun guy? You work at an office. Everybody's uptight. And a year later, you feel like, I'm uptight. Dad's uptight. The house is uptight. Boss uptight. The office uptight. culture uptight, coach quarterback become uptight. Green Bay needs to loosen up. Buy some leather pants. Seriously, unbutton your shirt all the way to your navel. You guys need to lighten up. You couldn't pay for J.J. Watt. You're not going to pay for Aaron Jones. Corey Lindsley, you're not going to keep. Are you watching what Tampa's doing? Tampa's like, listen, we're kind of inappropriate. We may get home late. We've had too much to drink. We're going all in on it. We're going to pay for stuff we don't even need. That's winning. That's what's winning in Los Angeles. That's what's winning in Tampa. God. Yeah, Aaron Jones, just let him go to the market. No, no, no. Corey Lindsley, can't afford him. J.J. Watt, it doesn't work for our budget. No, no, no. Doesn't feel right to me. By the way, my family now is a lot more fun. Uncle Colin now is not as uptight. What do you make of my dad uptight, family uptight theory?
No, it's very accurate and very reflective of the Packers and the last play of the
I mean, wasn't amazing?
Reflected that as well, yeah.
Matt LaFleur is around that uptight building, and he is now making calls where we're all going. What are you doing?
Well, the energy and the tone comes from the top. And that's how the Packers do business.
If I ran the Packers, two rules. No Dockers in the building.
No Dockers?
No Dockers. Okay. No khaki pants in the building. I'm not going to allow any khaki pants in the building. Secondly, Wednesday, cocktails for lunch.
I was about to say, they may want to mix in like a work happy hour or something. It kind of, you know, not saying you don't need to run a tight ship, but every once in a while you got to relax and just.
New rule in Green Bay, no Starbucks.
Go wild.
Bloody Marys for breakfast. Right during the draft, I just lighten up.
Overcorrection.
Coming up, I think I'm going to talk less Dallas Cowboys next year. I know what you're saying. Nonsense. We're going to talk about that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Upgrade to barber grade. Cremo barber grade products soothe and relieve beard itch. Shampoos, pomade. I use all of them. Cedar mist, mint, cooling, and more. Available at major retailers, Amazon and CremoCompany.com. C-R-E-M-O. By the way, I'm not a new rule on the show. It's March 10th today. So I'm going to do new rules. And then the staff's going to keep them because I'll forget them. And then right before the football season, they're going to have a book of my new rules. So I'm going to make a new rule on the show today.
Okay.
If Aaron Rodgers loses to Tampa Bay, I'm not going to criticize him. There's no way.
No matter how he loses.
I don't care. 50-0, 9 picks, don't care. I'm not criticizing him. They're not going to keep Aaron Jones, Corey Lindley, and couldn't get J.J. Watt. And you've got an all-star team in Tampa. Aaron's got to be looking at that. You got to be kidding. You want me to beat him? Yeah. The best running back, one of the best running backs in football. I want to keep him. The best center in the NFC. Can't keep him. Tampa's like Godwin. We'll franchise you. Levante David. We'll figure it out. Shaq Barrett. Let us call a math professor. We'll just work the numbers. There's everybody there. And then Tom's going to rework his, and they're going to get another guy. New rule.
So Aaron Rodgers is protected.
Aaron Rodgers
from the Buccaneers.
He's a made man on this
from
show against
or just
Tampa.
Just Tampa. Okay.
Yeah, he's got to beat Detroit.
Okay.
He's a made man on this show against Tampa this year. I think they host Tampa. Yeah, they're on the schedule. So I was thinking about this. Listen, you all know the rule. 90% of you know the rule. If you've listened to me for any time, there are certain teams and certain players I'm going to talk about. Okay. Steph Curry, LeBron James, James Harden, Kevin Durant, New York Yankees in baseball, Ohio State football. They've got a huge brand. Dallas Cowboys. Like you all, I'm not telling you anything that 99% of you don't know. I'm not going to spend Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence for the first time in my life. I'll talk Jags football. But by and large, a third of the NFL just doesn't get on the show. unless you have like a star quarterback or there's a controversy. And you know this to be true, and this is the reality of our business. If I don't get a rating, if Joy don't get a number, we don't have a show. They're putting up bars. We got no show, and we're just sad. So we got to talk about stuff that the majority of people care about. So the Dallas Cowboys are literally every year the number one rating on every network. If they're on the NFL network, it gets the best rating of the year. Fox best rating, NBC best rating, CBS best rating. But when Dak was signing a contract, I thought about this driving home yesterday, is that if you take out the Dak Prescott contract discussions, Joy and I talked about, if you just took those out, he's a quarterback, it's the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, Dak, we talked about. If you took those conversations out last year, it's the least I've ever talked about the Dallas Cowboys. We talked about that during the season. Very rarely. They just didn't make the lead on Mondays. They weren't interesting enough. The head coach is boring. The quarterback, Dak or Andy, don't have a lot of sizzle. And I was thinking next year, if you put Dallas's seven best players on a piece of paper, and this morning I was thinking, you know, Zach Martin, Jalen Smith, Amari Cooper, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dak, Zeke, I think CeeDee Lamb's pretty special. That's their seven best players. And I kind of struggled with the seventh. Zeke, by the way, is regressing. DeMarcus Lawrence is regressing. And Amari Cooper feels overpaid now. Let's take the best team in the NFC. Tampa Bay, seven best players. Brady, Mike Evans, Shaq Barrett, JPP, Tristan Wirfs, Lavonte David, Chris Godwin, and I couldn't stop. Because Devontae White made a Pro Bowl, Vita Vea is their highest-rated defensive lineman. Antoine Winfield Jr. is about as good a rookie safety as I've seen in years. And I'm not done. Like, Tampa's got, like, 14 special players. Dallas is a big brand. There's not a lot of special there. I mean, you asked me this morning, CeeDee Lamb has a chance to be really special. He looked really, really good. Offensive line used to be special. It's in rebuild mode. I mean, last year, people forget this. When Dak was healthy, they started the year 1-3, and the win was on a miracle onside kick recovery against awful Atlanta, or they're 0-4. Well, now you've paid Dak $40 million. I was talking, actually had dinner last night with an NFL owner. And there's certain things he can't say and can't say. But we were talking about the salary cap and this misinformation by the media that it's just going to explode over the next 4 years. No, it's not. It's just going to go up gradually. $40 million for Dak is going to be a lot of money for the entire contract. And the only way, when you don't have a bunch of special players, to get special players, pay for them, can't afford it, or crush the draft. That's hard. New England doesn't crush the draft. Crushing the draft, and not a lot of people crushing the draft for stars. Jimmy Johnson on the show yesterday talking about this.
I think he's a great leader for the team. I think the team really rallies around him. He could make plays with his legs. You know, he could run the football. He fit into their system. He has had problems at times being inaccurate. He can win you a championship if he has great players around him. I don't think Dak can carry a football team if he doesn't have great players around him.
And he doesn't. And the only way to get him is paying for him. And I looked at Dallas' schedule next year. They face a lot of teams next year with special players. Arizona, Tampa, Kansas City, Chargers, Vikings, Saints. Those are all on the road. So you start looking at that schedule, there's a lot of teams on that schedule with special players. So, I can love Dak. But I was just thinking about this when I drove home. I was just like, they just don't have a lot of special players. It's a great brand, but there's not a lot of sizzle to it. Kansas City's got sizzle. Rams got sizzle. Green Bay's got some sizzle, needs more. Buffalo's got sizzle. Tampa's got a ton of sizzle. Seattle's got some sizzle. There's some sizzle in this league. There's like, whoa, those are great. Arizona's got a couple guys you're like, wow. Chandler Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray. Where's Dallas's? Best player's probably a guard. That's it. I mean, the Colts last year, Jonathan Taylor, end of the year, the running back, you're like, oh, okay, that's a star. Michael Pittman, oh, it's a star. I mean, it's not wrong with having a great guard, Quentin Nelson, but it's just fun. You know, I sat driving home, I'm like, Dallas is just not a topic as to me. It just, I mean, if they start out 5-0, I'm not going to say I'm not going to cover them, but I don't know. There's not a lot of there. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, there's a lot going on this NFL offseason. The Saints are releasing wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders.
Just saw that before I went on the show today. Yeah.
In his one season with New Orleans, he was second to Alvin Kamara in receiving yards with 726 and 5 touchdowns. He confirmed the news on Instagram saying, New Orleans, it's been real. Sucks we didn't bring a Super Bowl to the city, which was the goal when I signed, but it was a blessing to showcase my talents in front of you guys week in and week out. Hashtag blessings on blessings. Hashtag I'm a free agent. Hashtag where to next.
I got to tell you something. Kenny Galladay's on the market. Hunter Henry's on the market. Emmanuel Sanders on the market. You can't tell me. We should get Emmanuel Sanders on the show today. Like, he's by the way.
He's very productive. He was second in receiving on the team.
Not only productive, he walks into your team and figures the offense out in an hour. San Francisco, he was there a week. And you're like, oh, he's a go-to guy.
He's extremely valuable. He's a great locker room guy.
Figures it out fast.
And he's still very productive. So, obviously, the Saints were going to have to make some moves because they were in cap hell. So, he was due to make $8 million this season with $2 million guaranteed. So, the Saints will save at least $4 million against the salary.
New England.
By releasing him.
Oh, by the way, Green Bay. You want to have a second receiver instead of grasping in the draft? Devontae Adams 1, Emmanuel Sanders 2. You already have a really productive tight end.
Maybe we can write a letter and
put it in our sedan and
drive it to Green Bay and they will get it. By the way, nobody's licking envelopes right now, right? I voted the other day and looked at the envelope and it had like this the sticky stuff you're supposed to lick. And I was
No,
definitely not licking that. It's going to be sponge milk.
Somebody's doing it.
I am not licking envelopes right now. Lamar Jackson is one of the next young quarterbacks in line for an extension. So we got done talking about Dak Prescott's contract. Now we get to talk about Lamar Jackson's contract. Hopefully it does not go as long. The Ravens are looking to lock him in long term, but GM Eric DaCosta admits that the money Dak Prescott got gives an idea of what Baltimore will have to pay for Lamar.
If you go to the Bentley dealership or the Range Rover dealership, you know what the cars are going to cost. You're not going to get much of a discount. They all cost about the same, and you go in there and you go in with the idea that you're either going to buy the car or you're not going to buy the car. And we're confident and committed to trying to get a long-term deal done, and hopefully we can get that done at some point, you know, in the near future. It may take a little time, but we're willing to try.
I like that attitude.
I like that attitude, too.
You got to pay for good stuff.
You do. He's the franchise quarterback. He's league MVP. Pay for him.
You know, my wife says that when people say California's expensive. She always says, so's filet mignon. It's the best weather in America. It costs money. You can get it for free. You want no taxes, go to Wyoming. The weather stinks. Wyoming.
You also can be at the beach in 20 minutes from
ski,
almost anywhere in the city.
And never leave the state for a vacation.
Yeah.
I never have to leave the state. I can go anywhere.
You can go ski.
Palm Springs,
you can hike,
Malibu.
You can get the desert. Yeah, that's how it works.
It's expensive.
Obviously, Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson, many would argue, have a talent gap, seeing as Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league.
Well, Lamar does something better than any player in the league.
Extremely talented. And we think has a massive ceiling and is going to be very productive in this league. But to Eric DaCosta's point, you have to pay for your franchise quarterback, which is why this whole situation with Dak Prescott was so confusing, because they should have done this first. They should have prioritized locking up Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. They probably could have gotten him for cheaper at that point if they had done the deal early, and maybe Dak Prescott would have been more willing to take a long-term deal if they had come to him early rather than prioritizing everyone else on the team.
Well, I trust Baltimore more than Dallas, so what Baltimore did, which is smart, is they draft him, he's free, and they give him a bunch of good players, veterans, they bring him on. And now when he gets expensive in about a year, they're going to let go some of those players, and they're building up their draft capital and their draft people. So it's, you play the game, rookie contract, go get him the Mark Ingrams and go get him the pass rusher from Jacksonville. And then in about a year when he gets a big contract, hopefully you've drafted well going up to that, and you've got players on rookie contracts all over your roster.
Yeah, this isn't a new concept. Everyone has to do this. Every team has the same exact formula.
I know.
It's like when they get caught up, it's like, what did you think? Like, what did you just thought Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson were just going to play on the same contract for their entire careers? And just like, because they love you. So there's been a lot of quarterback movement already this offseason, but the Giants will not be joining that conversation. GM Dave Gettleman made it clear they are happy with Daniel Jones and they are not considering any other options.
Okay, second new
rule. No reason to go look. I mean, everybody,
sorry.
You know, what we're doing isn't fantasy football. We're not playing. We're not doing that. You know, we've got a conviction on him. He's everything we want. He's got all the physical skills. We believe in Daniel, and that's where it is.
What's the new rule?
New rule, I'll make my decision on Daniel Jones by Thanksgiving. Either he's good or get rid of him. I talked to Jason Garrett on the phone about a month ago, maybe more. And I said, he's got a turnover problem. And he said, Colin, you're a great radio host. Let me digress. He said, we had a real strong conversation. We had a conversation after a turnover game. And I just said, you can't do that in this league. And he goes, next month? No, didn't have a problem. So they're aware. If you took the turnovers out, there's a lot to like about it.
I like Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
I also think for all the criticism that they got for taking him, he's taken that on. And I mean, I don't know that he's necessarily proven that he is the future of the Giants, but like, he's not the bust everybody predicted that he was going to be. I mean, everyone was freaking out over that bit.
I freaked out.
I freaked out too. I don't know that we're necessarily wrong yet. I'm with you. I think he needs more time.
Yeah.
And to Dave Gettleman's point, they're running an organization. They aren't playing fantasy football. I love fantasy football, but that's not how this works. You don't just flip your quarterback around every single season. There are some organizations who are able to do that and have success, but they still have to. They're still now sticking with that quarterback. Like Arizona is an example of that. And Daniel Jones has shown much more promise than Josh Rosen did. Like, I think that's fair.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So, yeah, I like that. I think that this division is going to be a lot better. People are still riding on the NFC East is the worst division. Every team in this division had to play with a backup quarterback at some point this past season. Like, it's going to be a different division next year.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
I'm
News.
I'm really name-dropping this morning, and I don't, you know.
You are.
I really am.
I went to dinner with an NFL owner.
Very.
Oh, I have fireside chats with Jason Garrett.
You're very cool, Colin.
Nick right now joining my friend First Things First. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I am listening. What can
that
I
was good. That was funny.
What can I say? Just hang out with the stars. Okay. Uh-huh. Dak Prescott, a lot of money, more than I like. Your thoughts initially when you saw it?
It's the best contract any player's ever gotten in NFL history. And I do wonder how it will affect. You were talking about Lamar a moment ago. If I'm Lamar, or if I'm Josh Allen, or dare I say on this show, if I'm Baker Mayfield, the next crop of quarterbacks who are going to get paid, what teams have always been able to hang over the head of those quarterbacks they want to extend is, well, you know, if you don't take this extension, we can always just wait you out and franchise tag you. And I think now you've got, well, Kirk Cousins got franchise tagged and got nothing but guaranteed money. He's the 13th best quarterback in football, and no quarterback's taken home more cash over the last 6 years, if you include this upcoming season, than Kirk. So that worked out. Dak Prescott got franchise tagged. He's probably the 9th best quarterback in football, and he's going to make $75 million cash this year and never be able to be franchise tagged again. That was the sneaky, important part of the deal. So while I think that the Cowboys had to get it done, I actually think the butterfly effect of this is Jerry Jones, I think, put the Ravens, the Bills, and the Browns in a tough spot if any of those quarterbacks want to bet on themselves like Dak did and play hardball, because the franchise tag is not as ominous as it once sounded for quarterbacks if Dak can snap his ankle and then get $126 million essentially fully guaranteed.
Yeah. So I was saying, new rule on the show, you can't ask Aaron Rodgers to beat Brady next year when they're not going to keep Aaron Jones, Corey Tindley, and couldn't land J.J. Watt. And here's Brady reworking his deal so they can add another star. What do you make? I mean, that yesterday, it's like Chris Godwin, boom, Levante David, boom, Shaq Barrett, we're working on him. It's like they got a different bank. What do you make of their offseason?
So I think you're asking me about the Packers. If you're asking me about the Bucks, I can answer that later, I guess.
Let's do the Bucks first. What do you make of their aggressive offseason?
Okay. The only part of the Bucks offseason I don't understand is this. If you could only franchise tag, and you could only franchise tag either Godwin or Shaq Barrett, I'm very surprised they didn't prioritize Barrett, because Godwin feels like more of a luxury to me. You have Mike Evans, Gronk's going to come back, O.J. Howard's going to come back from injury, Cameron Brate's already there, Scotty Miller's there, Tyler Johnson, who had like 9 catches all year but made that unbelievable catch in the playoff game against the Packers. And then Troy said, you know, I talked to Tom about this kid. He said just hadn't been able to find, you know, find passes for him, but they like him. A.B. might be back. I thought Godwin was more of a luxury, and I thought Shaq Barrett was more of a necessity. Now, I know there is some belief that Shaq Barrett, you know, they're going to get something worked out. But Shaq Barrett's been in this league 7 years. He was undrafted. His first 4 years in the league, he made a combined $1.9 million. He has 2 rings and $25 million in career total earnings. That strikes me as the type of player that's going to take the most possible money, and he's going to hit the market. So I think it's been a good offseason. The Levante David contract's great, and obviously Brady's helping him with cap flexibility. But Colin, I'm a little surprised that they're opening the door to Shaq Barrett leaving when their other major pass rushers, I mean, JPP's 31, Ndamukong Suh's 32. Like, I thought they would have tagged Shaq Barrett. So I want to see what happens there. If he signs a long-term deal, then it's an A-plus offseason. If he doesn't, then I do wonder about the Godwin-Barrett decision.
It is, and let's go back to the Packers now, because I do think Aaron Rodgers can be prickly, but he's got to be looking at this thing in New England, or excuse me, in Tampa, and just going, you want me to beat that? We can't even keep Aaron Jones, and I'm supposed to beat that. We won't keep my Pro Bowl center. Is there a solution for Green Bay?
Well, I don't know if it's quite a solution. And the one thing I'll say on Aaron Jones is I think it's possible they do keep him. I think the franchise tag number for running backs, $11 million. Maybe they think they can get him for 3 years, $27 million with like 18 guaranteed, something like that. So I don't know if he's quite out the door yet, but they certainly opened the door to him leaving. But I heard you saying, Colin, the Packers need to put on, I think you put it some, you said some leather pants and unbutton their shirt down to their navel.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you were being literal or figurative there, but I know a guy they could acquire who I would imagine has some leather pants, and I think very often wears his shirt unbuttoned to the navel. And that's Odell Beckham Jr. You don't want him in Cleveland anymore.
No.
You got the 28th pick of the draft. You've got Devontae Adams. Odell, this would be the, you know, what I'm hoping for my friend Odell, the Randy Moss career arc, unbelievable first stop, kind of confusing second stop, and then he finally gets with a superstar quarterback and he is nails in his third stop. I think Cleveland needs to prioritize their secondary in the draft, and they need to add draft assets to do so. And one other point is the Packers last year spent a first-round pick on a guy they hope never, or Aaron Rodgers hopes never plays. If they this year spent their first-round pick on a guy who's a la Stephon Diggs in Buffalo or DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona, could make an instant impact, I think that is the type of move they could make, and I would recommend that they do make. His contract's super reasonable, $14 million per each of the next 3 years, and I think he's available. So I think that's the move that fixes a lot of this for Green Bay. And what would make Uncle Colin happier than OBJ and Aaron Rodgers on the same team? Oh, I mean, two of his favorites, all-time players. It would just be beautiful. It would just be great.
I do think OBJ with Aaron, a veteran quarterback, would work. I think OBJ, you know, Eli was shot at the end. Baker's not Aaron. I think Aaron and OBJ, there would be a, you walk into the room and you're like, you know you're playing with a Hall of Famer. I think it works. Finally. Washington doesn't have a quarterback. About five teams don't. New England doesn't have a, well, Cam quarterback. Chicago doesn't have. Sam Darnold's out there. Surprised nobody's called. San Francisco doesn't like Garoppolo.
I just love, this is like, I was trying to think about what my Sam Darnold is. And I couldn't quite pinpoint it. I just love the soft spot Colin has for Sam Darnold. I love that Sam Darnold could end up being in the CFL, and Colin's going to be like, you know, I'm going to tell you guys a guy that you should look out for, Sammy Darnold. I don't know if you watched him on Saturday, but you love this guy. And here's what I'll say. I think he's been in a brutal spot. I think he has been in a spot where it is almost impossible to succeed. I am very curious if the Jets are out enough on him to trade him within the division. Because if anywhere, you know, he could rehab things, you would think it would be New England. And you're right that a lot of these, there are a lot of openings, but I don't know a lot of openings where they're going to be patient with a guy. I think New England would be fascinating for him. I also think that the better move for Pittsburgh would have been to just, you know, cut ties with Big Ben. I know it's not what they wanted to do and they didn't do it. Take a flyer on Darnold, and either you've got your young quarterback or you stink and you end up drafting a quarterback the following year. I don't think he's – let me just throw one thing, and I know we're short on time. Let me ask you real quick, if both are available, who would you rather take a flyer on, Darnold or Jameis? Because I think post-LASIK Jameis is fascinating. I think Jameis, with his eyes fixed, might actually be have something there, and he's available without a trade. Like, Jameis, I'm interested in.
It's a good – I'd take Darnold. Maturity with Jameis always – I thought he was not quite there. But I've also said this. He was hella productive. It's never been a production issue for him. He throws for a zillion yards. He just – every other pass is a pick six. Well, that was good. No, that was good. That was a good question. A very good job today. Kind of grilling me. I can take it, of course. But I'll rethink my Darnold positions.
you can take it. Who was the owner? Tell America, who was the owner? Spill the beans, Colin.
Can't do that.
Who was the owner you were having dinner with?
Cannot divulge. Oh, the reason owners have dinner with me is they trust me. Very trusted in NFL circles.
Yeah, and you pick up the tab.
That I didn't.
See you, Colin.
Nope, didn't even reach for the Amex card. Didn't even make an attempt at it. Good stuff with Nick Wright. Yeah, I usually, you know, I like to, you know, pay occasionally. Not, I didn't even, seriously.
If you're at dinner with a billionaire.
That's what I said. M one thing, B another.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
He made, during dinner, probably another $1 billion.
I've made it an effort to not offer to pay for dinner. I do that too often, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a topic in itself.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're playing one of my favorite games. We play it once a year, top of the hour. It's the high-low game.
Oh, okay.
It's rot with trouble. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Joy is moving Friday or
Saturday.
I'm moving Monday. We paid for movers.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's rude to ask somebody to help you move once you're an adult.
I can move a bottle of hairspray. So obviously I'm not moving anything.
Right.
Like, that's not what I was not designed to be a mover.
When I was in my 30s, I moved in Tampa in August. I remember wearing a white t-shirt. I'm not joking. It was late August in Tampa, Florida. I moved out of an apartment, and I remember somebody said, what I had on, somebody said, dude, you're going to lighten it. So I took a thin white t-shirt up down the stairs with a brown sofa, soaked 5 minutes in.
Of course.
So it was since that moment, I have never considered moving anything.
No. And I've had some very kind friends offer to help. Like, reluctantly, like, you, when someone says they're moving, like, you feel like, if depending on how close you are, you're like, oh, like, do you need help? Which I don't do, because I'm not going to be, what am I going to help you with? How can I help you? Hire movers.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a question.
Speaking of Sam Darnold, Peter King speculated the Denver Broncos are interested in trading for him. Here's the thing. Nobody remembers Drew Brees in San Diego. Nobody remembers David Ortiz with the Twins or Max Scherzer in Arizona. Nobody remembers Nick Saban at Michigan State. Nobody remembers Michael Jordan's first 3 years, no playoff wins. Nobody remembers Steve Young in Tampa. Nobody remembers Bill O'Reilly at ABC News. Your first couple of years go sideways. You land in a good spot. You're good. The bottom line is Aaron Rodgers, at this point in his career, hadn't started a game. And he's a legend. If Darnold goes to San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan made Matt Schaub a Pro Bowler, Matt Ryan an MVP. What else did he do? RG3 Rookie of the Year over Andrew Luck. That's good resume. If he makes Sam Darnold in a run-centric power offense, that they've already got George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, they can run the football, good O-line, you're not going to remember the Jets thing. He's 23. He could have 12 years left if he got the right team. Here's the thing with him. When Andrew Luck struggled, one of the reasons I defended him, he didn't have anything. He didn't have the right GM, the coach, the O-line, the weapons, anything. Either to Darnold, O-line, bottom five entire time, running back never had one, Le'Veon Bell didn't deliver, wide receivers, bottom five. He didn't have anything. Now, it'd be one thing if he had a good O-line and you're like, listen, he had a good O-line. Like Dak had a great O-line and Zeke, and some guys get everything. Patrick Mahomes, year two, you know, he got everything. That's not generally the way it works, but you got to have something. Sam Darnold, you got to give him something. He had nothing. Andrew Luck had nothing. So, I mean, even Trevor Lawrence this year with the Jags, Urban Meyer's pretty smart. They got a couple of really nice skill people. The O-line is not terrible. Defense is awful. But Trevor's not walking into a situation they have nothing. They got a couple of nice skill people. The O-line's not miles away. It's not a bottom five O-line. And they got a ton of cap space. I mean, Darnold came in, they had no cap space. And they were terrible. And the coach and the GM, so I think he can work. It's Jersey Mike's month of giving, raising money for over 200 charities across America. You can help by visiting a store. To learn more, visit a store or go to jerseymikes.com. Jerseymikes.com. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. The high-low game, fraught with peril. Next, it's The Herd.